Welcome to episode 182 of Conversation Street. I'm Gemma.
I'm Michael.
And this week, we're talking about the episodes of Coronation Street that were broadcast in the UK between the 11th and the 15th of January, because we are a Coronation Street podcast.
But we are, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you have learned which show we watch.
I'm just about there, I think.
They don't do a podcast about Conversation Street yet. That'll be the ultimate.
Oh, gosh.
That'll be when we are. You know, at the top
people
of the podcasting
game. People would be moaning about what terrible thing I've said this time.
Probably.
But should we just do Corrie history? We haven't really got much
hello,
to say.
Yes, hello everybody. No, we haven't got much to say this week, so we'll just get started. Corrie history this week. Well, it was Concepta Riley's 90th birthday this week, so happy birthday.
Brilliant name.
Concepta Riley.
55 years since the death of Norris's mum, Eunice.
Oh.
And he blamed Ramsay, the half-brother, who showed up.
Yeah, he was sent to Australia as a little boy, Winnie Ramsay, and
he showed
up, and then it caused old Eunice to die. That's what Norris thinks, anyway. Of course, this all happened off-screen, so we don't know what happened.
45 years since Ken and Valerie Barlow decided to emigrate to Jamaica.
I always love the idea that Ken could have ended up, in Jamaica. Like, in a parallel universe, you imagine Ken there on the beach, steel pans.
Too hot to wear your shirt all the time, Ken.
Oh, yeah, that's true, actually. Could he have gone around in his kimono in Jamaica?
He probably would
have
done.
Yeah, it'd be nice and breezy.
30 years since the first appearance of Alan Bradley.
Oh, yeah, we had Jenny the other week, didn't we? So 30 years. We just talked about him last week, didn't we?
I know everything about him. And 15 years since the first appearance of Todd Grimshaw when the family moved onto the street.
Yes, it was Todd's birthday this week, as that wasn't it?
Yeah.
Birthday, Todd. 10 years ago, Ardy and Asher were born. Oh, they didn't have an on-screen birthday. That's sad.
Because they're boring.
The big 1-0, double figures, that's important. They're going to start having storylines and everything soon.
No.
Happy birthday, Ardy and Asher. 10 this week. Unfortunately, that also coincided with Sunita telling Dev that he was going to have nothing to do with them because she discovered that he'd had other children. They weren't his first. Amber,
yeah.
And many others.
Many others. So that was Corrie history. Let's move on to street talk.
To find out whether this week goes down in Corrie history.
So, street talk time, there were all kinds of storylines going on. Some of them merged together by the end of the week, and some of them didn't.
Well, yeah, this first storyline, which is so important, I can't think of a storyline title for it. I know everybody is so sad, but you know.
Tell them what the story is.
Robert and Carla and Tracy and things.
Yeah.
It's not really hard for a storyline title, but I couldn't think of anything good.
It doesn't matter.
It does. It doesn't matter.
No.
This is the only thing that people tune in. They probably switch off after they find out the hilarious storyline titles.
Well, you use the same one week after week, so it can't be that important.
Yes, but all the Robert stuff's going to come first, which is, the main thrust of the week. Well, they're going to move on to the Grease Monkey and the Greasy Spoon Flunky, which we do have a storyline title for.
We do.
Kevin and Anna and their canoodling.
Yeah. Losing Hope, the third storyline. Then we've got Revenge Porn, The Revenge.
The Revenge of the Revenge Porn.
Yes.
Because Jamie's back, which is a surprise. I didn't expect to see him again.
Nope. He's got a good agent. And Roy, storyline about Roy and his mum.
Also and no then, title, but it's not really a storyline, is it? It's just David Nielsen going
doesn't
off
matter.
To tread the boards.
Doesn't matter. And then Kindred Spirits.
Yes.
Final.
Which is about X-Files socks.
It's X-Files socks. Mm. So that was six stories. So let's start off with the Carla, Robert, Tracy, whatever storyline, on Monday. Oh my goodness, there's been a review of the Bistro in the paper.
Yeah, it was in the Manchester Evening News got a shout out this week, didn't they?
Yeah, battering up the Bistro.
Well, Robert seems to just be the most awesome chef in the whole of the North. What are they? West? Or East? Yeah. West, I always get those mixed up.
Why can't you just say in the North?
In the North. He probably is, might as well be.
Why not just be in the country? He could be on MasterChef.
Well, Robert is so in demand this week. Like, Tracy wanted him. Carla didn't want him. Nick wanted him.
Carla's already had him, baby.
But yeah, he's suddenly...
Because let's refresh our memory. Carla had an affair, a very short-term fling.
Fling, yes. One night stand with
whatever,
Robert.
Whatever, with Robert. And she is supposedly engaged to Nick to get married as soon as possible, while also Robert and Tracy have split up.
Ooh, the conflict of interest. It's no wonder that Zidane is suddenly also... Well, he's probably, the second best chef in the North now, because you probably have to just be, in the presence of Robert.
Greatness.
And suddenly you can go from being whatever it was that Zidane was before. Grumpy teenager to being super chef. He can do a butterfly chicken now and everything.
Far be it from me to disparage northern cooking, because I'm sure that they would be very happy to fling crap my way, but it seems to me that in the north, as long as you can put a pie crust on the top of something, you're in the top 10%.
Yeah, that's true. And black pudding.
If you can slice black pudding and fry it up with your breakfast.
Yeah, without it turning your stomach. 10 out of 10. Yeah.
So, Nick tells Carla that the last thing Robert needs is a huge ego boost.
Yeah, which is what basically he gets all week.
Yes, yeah, so they're very full of himself this week.
Johnny was back this week, at least at the beginning, wasn't he?
Very briefly appears to argue with Aiden and get kicked out of the factory.
Yeah, he's like, we need to start fighting, let's be friends again. And Aiden's like, no, and Kate's
I think that was it for him really this week, wasn't it? He just appears a little bit.
Yeah.
So
he's obviously going to come in important at some point in the future, and then if they didn't have these scenes, people are like, I thought Johnny had gone off somewhere.
No, he hasn't gone off, he's just hovering around. So this review mentions Robert Preston, a chef by name. And he's very full of himself because it refers to the bistro itself as modest surroundings. And so Nick's rushed off his feet with all of these phone calls he's getting for bookings because of this mention. Mm. And so Carla starts sort of spiralling into despair and not really sure what she's doing and whether she should even be with Nick. And she tells Michelle that she can't get married in this state and she needs to talk to Nick about it. And Michelle's like, you either need to tell Nick or you need to come to terms with the fact you're not going to tell him. But either way, you need to sort out what you're doing. You need to tell him you're not going to get married to him soon because of Johnny. Just postpone it so you don't have to worry about it for the time being.
Well, it would be fair because they've only just started going out, really, haven't they? Like, a couple of months they've been together and they're already going to get married, so it's understandable.
We have Johnny coming into the pub where Aiden and Kate are, and then Aiden storms off and Kate's like, oh, you should forgive him, but he's not very interested in forgiving him. So Carla then tells Nick, finally, I want to postpone the wedding, and he doesn't get it. He's like, oh, blah blah blah, talking about canapes. And she says, no, I can't marry you. So he says,
is there someone else?
And she says, no. She does the whole it's not you, it's me thing, and she says, I'm being suffocated, and says about Johnny. So they go out for a walk
down
the canal.
Nick just can't believe it. I mean, why, he's such a catch. Why would anybody not want to marry him as soon as possible?
I want to marry him.
Screwing that face. He almost has like the brain tumour face, doesn't he? Like, what? I can't understand.
I'm the catch. I'm the best plat.
So they go for a walk, basically, and he gives his romantic speech about how awesome she is. But she's still not so sure.
She is convinced because they go back to the bistro.
Oh, yeah, she was. She...
And put the date down as the fourth week in May when they're going to get married.
What happens in the fourth week of May?
What happens?
Oh, it's Britain's Got Talent finals. I wonder whether anything dramatic can happen with that.
Who knows? Tracy's there and she tells her that she can save some money by reusing her dress.
And so bitter.
Zidane comes out and says, oh, I can do the food. And then Robert looks all moody and skulks off. So Michelle comes over to Carla's flat and is all like, what the hell? I thought you were gonna put it off.
Cool it for a bit.
And she says, no, he loves me and I want to make him happy. And Michelle says, her happiness will depend on her. Wise words, Michelle.
It's not going to work, is it? Robert's going to find out. We've also put the... Originally, we had all the Tracy stuff as a separate storyline because we didn't realise they were... together, so I didn't know where to put it back in. So basically, what happened with Tracy that episode was just to do with this shop opening, and I think the shop looks very nice.
Like, I would purchase flowers from there if I didn't always get them from the supermarket.
Compared to how it used to be, because the bookies was just like standard kind of, not much there, like a few TV screens and a counter, and then Barlow's Buys was just cheap and an horrible
tat
shop. But this has actually done it pretty well, probably because of all this Interflora money they're getting.
Yeah.
How intrusive was the product placement for you this week?
Not at all, because you would totally expect to see Interflora signs in a florist.
Yeah, and it wasn't particularly like it wasn't that in your face either. I mean, you could spot it, couldn't you?
If they ever say the word Interflora in the programme, it will make me go, oh.
Yeah, but I mean, they don't do that with like Nationwide or Visa contactless.
No, but I can just imagine them going, oh, we've got to get these Interflora orders out.
I don't think I'm particularly bothered with it because it's pretty realistic. But the shop itself looks very nice, doesn't it? A nice purple design. And I just like seeing all the flowers around everywhere. They're interesting to look at, aren't they?
Well, Tracy wants to have a big shop opening and Robert, she wants him to do the canapes. And Todd's like, this is not... If you're trying to win him back, it's not going to work. And she won't tell anyone what the shop is called. And him, like we thought, he said it would be Barlow's Blooms. And later on he says it's going to be called Barlow's Bunches. And we thought it would be Barlow's Bouquets.
Yeah, I think I said Barlow's Bouquets last week because it's like Barlow's Bookies.
More it becomes apparent that she doesn't want anyone to know, and the more insistent she is that Robert comes to this thing, the more obvious it became that it was going to involve his name somewhere.
I just think it's
and
funny.
And so we were trying to guess what it was going to be called. Robert's Roses.
Yeah. We
Preston's Posies, we thought of. Yeah, we didn't actually guess it in the end. Preston's Petals is rubbish.
Yeah, I think I don't like the shop. I don't like the idea that she's named it Preston's anything because I don't like the idea of Tracy and Robert staying together because she's too good for him. She's too interesting for him. And Corey's kind of losing it a bit on the business names because like some of the older ones, like Prima Donna, funny comedy, or you know, clever wordplay name, Roy's Rolls, same, For Your Fries Only, brilliant, but Barlow's Bookies, Barlow's Buys, Preston's Petals. That's like when I just have alliteration
just
for the storyline titles.
Bottom of the barrel, isn't tooting. It?
Yeah. So I don't really like it. And it seems to me as well that they're not going to keep this name for long. It seems like fairly temporary. I know with what happened at the end of the week, it could stay for a little longer, shall we say, but I'll be a bit disappointed.
I don't care.
I was just surprised about how they managed ITV managed to keep this a secret, yet they can't keep anything else that happens in the show a secret. Like, at the end of the day, is the name of the shop that big of a deal? No, but they give spoilers for absolutely everything else that happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, get your priorities right, Blackburn.
Yeah, Blackburn. Why don't you bugger off and let someone else do it?
Okay. I think she's taken over very, very soon. I can't remember when exactly.
So, Wednesday.
Yeah, Kate's going to be a bridesmaid, surprise, surprise, with Michelle, but the rest of the stuff kind of goes on to this shop storyline. And Zidane's the one that ends up delivering the canapes to the bistro, and Tracy's like, no, I need Robert to be there. Step in, Amy Barlow. She will, obviously, out of the goodness of her heart, ha-ha, go and get Robert from the bistro. So she goes over there and manages to somehow talk her way into the back of the kitchen, which really should be no children allowed anyway. But she...
They let Zidane in.
Robert realizes that Amy's not going to shut up and leave him alone, so she just goes out. She says, oh, everyone hates the canapes and says they're horrible and you need to come out and whatever, and he's like, no, they're not, they're my canapes, do you not know who
but
I am?
I'm
Robert, I'm the best chef in the northern hemisphere. I'm gonna do something about
I'm
this.
I'm better than all those pansy southern chefs.
Talking about pansies, back in the flower shop, Tracy is desperately waiting for him, and he turns up so she can. He realizes that everyone's raving about how amazing these canapes obviously are, so he starts heading off again, and Tracy starts begging him to stay and starts making this speech about how her shop is going to brighten people's lives and stuff, and then she unveils the sign, and yeah, it's this Preston's Petals, and he's like. You stupid idiot. Why have you...
I know, it's really bad. I felt sorry for her because it's like, yeah, this is a bad idea, Tracy.
Calls her incorrigible, which she is. And even Ken says that it was a bit of a risky gambit. And it is, really. I think on the internet, when I was looking around Twitter and everything beforehand, a few people had also suggested, or I reckon she's going to name it after Robert, but some people suggested Deirdre's or something, which would have been
very nice.
Quite nice.
Deirdre's
Daffs.
Deirdre's
Daffs. Just think, like, Deirdre's would have been nice, but I suppose it's a bit like after Alma died and she made, well, her, one of her final wishes was to get Audrey to call the salon Alma's, and it was for a bit, but then after a while it was just, why is it called that again? So I think it was changed, then it was changed back to Audrey's again. I don't know, I couldn't think of a shop title that I was completely happy with, but It does seem to me
I don't know why. I mean, I would have just called it Weatherfield Flowers or something boring like that. You just want...
Does what it says on tin.
She's just going to be doing funerals and weddings, so...
It's going to be in good business then in the soap.
Sympathy flowers and...
Yeah, I can't...
People are always buying flowers from devs, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I was going to say, I can't see there being many kind of cause for people going into that shop and buying things as much as there was in Barlow's Bookies, because basically if anyone wanted anything, they could go into Barlow's Boys, and it would be there. But people do get things from devs.
They do. I would say, honestly, the thing that people talk about buying from devs the most is flowers.
Yeah, and they even made a comment. Was it Sophie or Erica? I can't remember. Who told Dev he needs to up his game on his flowers this week.
I mean, people go in there to buy lots of other things, and you always see them buying other things. But the things they talk about buying most often are flowers.
Dev's flowers are a bit pathetic compared to those lovely ones that Tracy's got in the shop as well. But maybe this could be like the start of Dev's going out of business or something.
Oh, good. That'd be fun.
That would be fun, wouldn't it? Anyway, that was the end of Wednesday's episode and that storyline. And then what do we have today? Oh, yeah, Robert comes back into the shop today and again says, look, this staff sign isn't going to change a thing. I'm not coming back to you. No way, no how. So he also reveals that he wants to make an investment in the bistro. Had he said this before? Because the way that they were talking, it was like this had been his plan for a little while. And I can't remember him mentioning it before, but I don't know whether I just hadn't paid attention. Had you heard him saying that?
No, he seems to be buoyed by his recent success.
Yeah, I guess so. So he goes over to Nick and says, well, I want to buy in, I want to have a chunk of your pie, Nick. And Nick's like, no, and I didn't blame him, really. You can't just go around someone and say, can I have a bit of your business? And then Robert got really like up himself when Nick turned him down.
The only time it would ever work is if you knew that they were in trouble and they needed some more money, or they had plans to expand it in some way. Nick was talking about expanding it, and that's when Leanne said to him, but you must be joking, because there's only one Robert to go around. And Nick was like, oh, it's not down to him, it's my amazing business acumen.
Yeah, so I think Robert was being a bit too snooty today, wasn't he? But then Nick was just as bad later on, to be honest. Nick offers him a bonus, and Nick and Robert's like, you're just patronising.
Well, he's really dismissive, and he's like, why should I give you anything? I'm not interested. I don't need an investment. I don't need a business partner, thanks very much.
Well, Robert's only been in the business for a couple of months. He needs to, I mean, he might be good, but he needs to prove himself for a bit longer. He can't just go kind of throwing his weight around just because people have been saying he cooks his steaks nice or whatever.
Yeah, but we've always known that Robert's a good chef, though, haven't we?
Oh, he did come like quite highly recommended when
I mean, in place of having a personality, it's been the thing that Robert's good at cooking.
To be honest, to be better than any of the past chefs they've had at the bistro, you just have to go a whole week without pulling a sickie, don't you?
Yeah.
And now they've managed to solve that problem anyway, because they have two chefs in the bistro.
Hooray!
You'd have thought that if you've got two, then if one goes off sick, you can get on.
So Robert's not happy about this, and then Mr. Fife comes in, the very theatrical Mr. Fife with his lovely weird scarf that he wears, and he's trying to convince Nick to give him Robert. He says, I'm opening a new restaurant and I need Robert Preston. I must have him. I'll compensate you for letting me have him. But I need him straight away because I've got to sort my kitchen out and I'm going to have a celebrity launch and you can come if you like. And Nick's like, no. And he rips the number up and Leanne says, don't you think you should have at least told him what's going on?
Yeah. So...
But Nick's like, nope. No, I'm not going to tell him. He's my employee. I'm not going to let him run off.
But before anything can happen, Zidane tells Robert about it.
He thought he knew.
Yeah, he comes storming out of the kitchen saying, you had no right to hide this from me. You're patronising me. I can make my own decisions. Maybe I will go and work with Mr. Fife or whatever it was. And then he starts insinuating he could tell...
Carla's there. And he's like, oh, you and your fancy fiancé, you think you've got it made, but I could tell you a thing or two. And Carla's like, oh my God.
Yeah, and that was a cliffhanger that was sadly not, didn't pay off after the break.
It's like, because
maybe next week.
Carla drags Nick away. And then he says, Robert, please stay. I want things to be back to normal. And Robert says, nope, either I'm a partner or I'm leaving.
Yeah.
So Carla and Tracy are in the pub together and they start having an argument. And Michelle eventually tries to reassure Carla that Robert's never going to say anything. Maybe she should keep her away from the bistro to not inflame things.
Exactly.
But Carla goes back there anyway and she walks in. First of all, she doesn't really know what's going on because Nick's like, oh, we've got to talk, oh, blah, 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 and everyone's acting a bit weird and cagey. And then it turns out that Robert has bought into the business. And Carla can't believe it because she had just been saying to Tracy, oh, this would never happen because Nick trusts me and he'll listen to what I say and there's no way Robert's going to be part of the business. But it turns out he doesn't care. So he sold Robert 20% of the business without discussing it with Carla. And Carla is very awkward and goes and confronts Robert in the kitchen alone and says, you're doing it to get back at me. And he says, no, it's nothing to do with you, love. It's to do with me.
Me becoming the next Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, so he could be Gordon Ramsay.
The next step on the ladder.
Sort of scale.
Yeah. So Michelle kind of, at the end of the evening, tries to promise to Carla that everything's going to be okay. But obviously it's not. You were saying earlier it was just weird that Robert's now got his name over. He's like got two ends of the street, hasn't he? He's got the bistro at one end. He's got the flower shop at the other end with his name on. It's in like a year ago. He was just this character from the past that had gone into the, you know, Corrie annals of history.
Yeah, it is a bit strange because it's like he was going on about he wanted to have his name and stuff in the bistro. And I was like, imagine if he did have his name on two businesses and he's not even a really important character.
No, he's totally the kind of character that I can see if he sort of upping and leaving and like forgettable, really.
Yeah, I wouldn't remember him.
No. Anyway, he looks like he could be staying for a bit longer because Tracy manages to somehow get her claws back into him by the end of the episode. This Mr. Fife that was sent round was apparently just an old Amdram friend of Deirdre's, and
of course
it was just a setup and just to try and show what did she even do it to show Robert, to make Nick see that Robert should be appreciated or something.
She's just like, you deserve better, babes. Let me help you.
Yeah.
Like, see how indispensable I am to your success and happiness.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
What would have happened if, like, Robert had said, okay, I'm going to go for that job. I'm going to leave you in the lurch, Nick. He went off, found out there was actually no job going.
Well, no. It was never supposed to be for Robert. It was supposed to be for Nick.
Oh, okay.
Silly. Do you not understand how it goes?
Yes, I understand. Okay.
Do you get it now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, anyway, they ended up snogging by the end of the episode.
Just nonsense.
Yeah. So, Tracy is... The ball is back in her court again, and things are looking ever more miserable for Carla, who nothing happy can ever happen to.
Oh, dear.
What drama could lay in store for Carla? Because I'm sure it's not over yet. I'm fed up with everything going wrong for Carla. She needs a break. Girl needs a break, doesn't she?
If you want to be a main character on the show, though, things have got to go wrong for you because otherwise you're just on the periphery of other people's drama.
Yeah, but I mean, it's taken it to the extreme a little bit for Carla this year. She's had a pretty rough year.
Well, it's hard to feel sympathetic towards somebody. He slept with someone they don't even like for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, I've never understood or been able to sympathise with people that can just end up
one night standing with other people.
It's not
very moral, is it?
No, it doesn't. It's not like it can happen accidentally. It's not like you don't deliberately intend to do something like that.
Mm.
So no sympathy. Sorry about that. You've laid the foundations for your own destruction.
So is Robert now going to be back in? Do you think he's going to have much to do at the florists? Because I assume
Robert.
Yeah. Or he's just like just got his name and that's it. Is it Tracy
now?
No,
she called it Preston's Petals.
So she's going to get married to him.
She's
going to
be Tracy Preston.
Yeah.
That's what she thinks.
Oh, I hope they're not going to have another repeat of the competing wedding storylines. And she and Robert are going to be engaged, and she's going to have a better wedding than Carla and Nick. Could happen.
Mm.
And then there's Michelle. And
well, it would be a different kind of interesting thing because it's not a sort of funny comedy rivalry, is it? It would be a sort of a grudge match.
I guess so. But to be honest, I can't see them getting to a point in May where they'll be engaged anyway.
No, me either.
So it's going to happen. It's all going to come out, isn't it?
It's all going to go pear-shaped.
Yeah. I struggled to find the storyline interesting this week, to be honest. I thought the flower shop stuff was nice. I liked all that kind of angle, but everything else with the beast show is like a bit...
Yeah.
Seems to be... It's dragging on, but it hasn't been going that long. It just... I don't know. It feels a bit like... Oh, no, don't really care what happens with this. Kevin and Anna, though, I think is still quite sweet. They seem to... I think they're quite good as a couple. What do you think?
I quite like them, and I quite like the fact they're turning Anna into more of a comedy character at the moment.
Yeah, they do.
And maybe that can sort of...
That would certainly work in her favour, wouldn't it?
Although, do we really want Sally, Tim and Kevin and Anna to just be two comedy couples? There's not really any comedy in the fact that she's going out with Kevin, is there, though?
No, not really.
It's just they're turning Anna herself into a comedy actress.
A little bit, but it was mostly just playing off Sally, which is what Tim's able to do. That she was the funniest this week when she was trying to hide the fact that she was going out with Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin and Anna, they are quite nicely matched together, really, but they're not a funny couple of themselves, are they?
No, not at the moment.
But they're all secret at the moment, anyway, aren't they?
So Monday, they end up going out on a date and... They agree not to say anything, and...
There's nothing that happens.
Well, nothing really happens, let's be honest.
They're just kind of secretly...
flirting and everything. They come out of the house to go on their date, and Kevin has to duck back inside to hide from Erica, who's walking past. But when they get in the back of the car and start snogging, Tim sees them. And then on Wednesday, Tim tells Kevin, I saw you and Anna, but I'm really glad... that you're, you know, made up for you.
It is a bit of a wife swap situation, isn't it? Even though, obviously, Tim
and
Anna...
But, yeah.
It's like almost is.
Yeah.
It's another example of everybody in this storyline has to go out with each other and everyone takes a turn.
Everyone take a turn and see which one you like.
Yeah. Coronation Street is just a series of wife swaps,
isn't it,
really?
It's just an orgy, isn't it, really?
Basically.
So, on Friday, we find out that Kevin has arranged for a contractor to do the work for the new... What's it called?
Garage expansion. I'm sure.
Wonder who it's going to be.
I don't know who it's going to be. But
whoever
very...
it is, they undercut Jason, who gets very upset and accuses him of stabbing him in the back.
Yes, exactly. I forget that Jason's in it after time.
She
kind of pops in, doesn't he, every now and again.
Anna says, "Oh, come around mine to celebrate." So then she has to get rid of Faye. So she says to Tim, "Can you take Faye for the night?" So. She drops Faye off, and then Sally gets a bit annoyed and says it's obvious that she's got the fancy man, and that's why she doesn't want Faye around. And poor Faye, imagine what she's going to be like, pushed from pillar to post once Anna gets her fancy man. She's got no time for her, poor child. And then she asks Faye what she wants to do, and Faye says, "I want to watch a DVD, but it's at my mum's house." So Sally's like, "Oh, let's go round and get it," because she knows that she can catch Anna out.
Snooping opportunity there.
So... Kevin and Anna are snogging upstairs when
they start to hear people coming, and they take the longest time walking up those stairs, don't they? I mean,
they take long enough for Anna to shove Kevin in the bedroom, run around the front room,
pouring wine down
the sink and hiding things and shoving cans of lager in the bedroom, and then finding a blanket to drape around herself.
Tinnies.
And then getting her magazine out to pretend that she was doing admin.
Yeah, like it's like 30 seconds or so to walk up these stairs, isn't it? I assume that Tim was trying to slow them down because he'd seen Sally and Faye going over there, and he kind of rushed over.
He rushes to join them, so all three of them end up upstairs.
And Sally is...
She doesn't pretend.
Not being subtle about it, is she? She's like, "Oh, what are you doing, Anna? Oh, what are you wrapped up in that duvet? What you got there?" And she starts prying around, and then and Anna's just like comedy squirming, isn't she? And Sally starts just saying, "Look, have you got a man in there? Have you met somebody? Let's have a look at him. Come out. And Kevin stays. I thought that he'd like end up coming out sheepishly because he didn't like. He said, "We're not teenagers. I don't want to be hiding around." But he respects Anna's wishes and stays quiet. And Tim manages to drag Sally off, but that was quite a funny scene. And basically, at the end of the episode, Kevin and Anna agree to go steady, which is so romantic. And they're still going to keep their little fling a secret for a little while longer.
Yes.
Not for long, I'm sure.
No, they know that they're going to.
It's going to have to come
reveal
out.
Reveal it, but they want to keep it secret for one more night.
Yeah. I think, how do you think Sally's going to react? Because Timnall's obviously kind of...
She'll be like, oh, that Anna Windass, she's never happy. She knows that I'm brilliant and she just wanted a piece of my life. And
I suppose
she only fancies Kevin because I had him first and she can't stand.
Yeah.
She'll make it all about her and
say
that Anna was jealous.
I like the line about, what was it? What did Anna say when she was saying that Kevin and Sally must have had a... Oh, she was prattling on about nothing, and then Kevin goes in for a snog, and Anna says, is that what you always do, kiss people when they talk a load of nonsense? You and Sally must have had a very passionate relationship.
I'll tell you one thing, she'll probably accuse Anna of muscling in on Kevin because of the new business.
Oh, yeah, probably.
And say that she's like a money grabber and stuff.
Making such a success of it.
She's trying to steal money off of Sophie's inheritance and stuff.
Yeah.
Probably.
I can see the dinner parties now, though, because there's going to be obviously these, let's have Sally and Kevin and Tim and Anna together.
Who's going to host first?
Well, I don't even think Anna's probably got room to have people around, has she?
If Anna hosts, Tim and Kevin will be absolutely fine and loving it, because she'll probably give them lager and everything. And Sally will be like, woo-hoo.
I'd like to see something where Sally has to do the main course and Anna has to bring a pudding and they both try and outdo themselves, isn't there?
Yeah. Funny.
But actually, neither of them can cook. Anna can defrost a moussaka and Sally's dish is a broccoli bake this week, though.
Mm.
Neither particularly.
But don't forget, it was a Jamie Oliver broccoli bake.
Oh, it must be lovely, then.
Yeah, with almonds, but she didn't have any.
So, are Tyrone and Fizz still losing hope this week? Not really, but we're still quite... That is a storyline title because I can't think we bothered to think of another one.
Because why not?
Hope had her operation this week, didn't she? Her operation removed
her cancer operation.
Yes, and obviously Tyrone and Fizz are very stressed out about this. And Tyrone's worried about not having any money and he gets...
It's a good job it wasn't scheduled for the day that they were having
the doctor's strike, wasn't it? Oh, they would have still had it.
Oh, she can have it anyway. She's a special little lady.
Tyrone takes it out on a vending machine, doesn't he, when it steals 5p off him or something. And I like that he had a little mention of Jack and Vera as well, didn't he? Because he was like, oh, what would Jack and Vera think of me if they could see me now? So that was a nice little reminder. But anyway, everything goes okay and the tumour's been removed and in 7 to 10 days they'll know if it works. So that's going to be, end of next week probably. Everything seems okay on the hope front. But Fizz is now coming down sick. She gets up on Wednesday morning and she feels like she's been hit by a tram or something. So Tyrone has to head off to the hospital himself. Luckily, it's only one of these one-episode flus, handily. But back on the street, when Tyrone's out, that elf bloke, I can't remember what his name was, comes round. He'd been to see Tyrone, was it a week or two ago? I can't remember.
It was quite recently, to say, oh, I want my money.
Give me your money, because she still thought that people did all that... Best Christmas Ever Lapland stuff out of the goodness of their heart, but no, he is demanding £1,500, and she's calm enough about it, isn't she? She's like quite level-headed. She doesn't say no, we're not paying that or anything. She says, yeah, we'll get you your money, but is kind of wondering what else Tyrone hasn't he told me. So he gets home and she's quietly livid with him, kind of coldly explains to him what's happened, and he's like, it's all right, I just forgot to pay it, I'll pay it tomorrow. And she goes, forgot to pay £1,500, what are you on? And also, I've been to the bank and you were at, we're £4,000 in the red, anything else you want to tell me? And he's like, I got that payday loan.
Hope's not really my baby.
That porter, that crazy porter at the hospital, looks a little bit like John Stape, I have to say. I don't know whether anyone else thought that, but you know, maybe he's actually not dead after all.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So anyway, they owe £10,000. So the truth kind of comes tumbling out. He's only thinking of Hope and everything. And Fizz is like, you idiot. Hope would have had a lovely Christmas if we'd have had something small, some naff cheap toys, as long as she knew that she was loved at the moment. Now you've blown it. What are we going to do now? And then she kicks him out. So he goes round Kevin's for the night. But that was just a bit of end of episode drama cliffhanger, wasn't it? Because they were back together again today. She's like, I'm too exhausted to fight you.
Well, she just says, we need to be together for the kids, which is what David and Kylie continuously tell each other all the time.
Yeah.
And she says, well, she's gone to get her job back.
Yeah, so she's going to start earning money again. I don't know what that means for Hope, because Emily can't look after her anymore, is she, can she?
Nope.
Is Hope going to end up going back to school, or going to school, possibly? I don't know how long it takes you to get over these sort of things.
It's not like either of them have got the option to work at night, either.
No, they haven't really. Sure they'll think of something.
Maybe it should just be part-time.
Who'd even been looking after Ruby? Has she been just at a preschool?
Don't question it.
I don't know. But anyway, there we go. So, at least with Fizz and Tyrone, when they split up, they've been back together again by the end of the episode, pretty much. With David and Kylie, it like goes a couple of weeks on and off. But I think the secret to David and Kylie staying together is not being in any scenes, because they haven't been in it since Christmas, have they? And they haven't split up since.
Conflict.
No drama. Don't talk to each other. Don't have anything interesting happen to you. So the Luke stuff, this kind of came out of nowhere, and I was a bit surprised that Luke got a phone call from somebody saying that Jamie has been let out on bail. That's right, Jamie, the guy who had posted those naughty pictures of Steph online and was last seen being dragged into a police car, I think. But he's been let out on bail and he's got a job at a mate's bar in town. So Jamie and Andy discover this and they're like, right, we're not having any of that. So they go off to this bar and they basically just drop him in it with the boss, who didn't realise about Jamie's shady past. Now, she missed out on a trick, didn't she? Because she needed somebody to help her, what was it, taking some deliveries
in?
She's
like, oh, lads, sort the delivery out. And they get to go, and then they're about to go, and then along come those two and start accusing. And she's like, oh my God, you're fired. I'd have been like, look, lads, we'll sort it out later. Just go get the delivery in. When they bring it in, I'll be like, right, you're fired.
But now she has to work there herself, and she's just got Keith, the bouncer, to help her with the delivery.
She fired two staff, and she was the only one there.
Yeah.
Well done.
She's going to regret that later. But finding themselves with nothing to do, Jamie and mate, I don't even know that we got a name, set about stalking Andy and Steph and Luke at the end of the episode, don't they? So, more to come on that next week. Steph finds out about it. She's still been on edge a bit since it's happened. There's been like the odd mention of her thinking that people are looking at her and sending her messages and reminding her about these pictures. But she, Leanne says to her, look, you've shown Jamie that you can stand up to him. Stick it out a few weeks until the trial. And she's like, yeah, I can.
So would you think we're actually going to see this trial?
I don't know. I just kind of assumed that the storyline was over. Although we did say at the time that was over a bit quickly, didn't we?
We never like normally get to see anything like this, do we?
Well, no, they have trials if it's a proper main character or whatever. But usually if it's a side character, they get carted off to the police. And then you just like see them reading in the newspaper that so-and-so's been sent down for X many years or whatever. But I don't know, maybe we will see the trial. And as much as I said before, I'd quite let this storyline to go on. I think there's more that can be told with it. I found that a bit boring as well this week. And it's like, I think it really is the curse of Luke and even Andy. Mm. Not got much going for them. And Steph's just kind of dragged down with it. The revenge porn storyline at the time was kind of interesting. And they had the whole race angle, which kind of got the adrenaline going a little bit, but it just seems to be a little side story, and everything else that's happening on Coronation Street was with established characters like the Tracy storyline or the Platt storyline or Kevin, and these are like people like the extras, you know? Extras get together and have a little bit of a story together every now and again.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to be like they're really part of it. They just really need to bring in an established character into that storyline, or like we said before, have Steph go and join in with the Platt storyline or something, because she's the one out of them that's got promise.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Roy going off, David Nilsson's treading the board somewhere with Chris Gascoigne, so he's going to be off for a little bit, and sick mother storyline.
Well,
he's almost like, are you sure David Nilsson's not going on maternity leave?
Paternity leave. So on Monday, they're trying to sort out the insurance, and Roy wants her to tell him what
Kathy.
Company they were with, and she eventually remembers it's Mega Bank.
How long did it take the scriptwriters to get
it? I
think
we should take out some insurance with Mega Bank.
They seem like perfectly...
a really reputable company.
Yeah, exactly.
So, at the end of the episode, she gets a call from her Roy's aunt about
Jean.
His mum. And he's like, oh, I'll sort it out another time, it's not important. On Wednesday, Auntie Jean calls again, but Roy still hasn't phoned her back. And then Alex turns up, and it turns out he's lost his job. Anna explains to Kathy that Sylvia is not exactly the world's best mother, because she kind of scarpered off when Hayley got sick.
Every time that they say something bad about Sylvia, I still can't help thinking this is just them having a dig at us, the actress who disappears suddenly.
So on Friday, she says to her, look, I know you felt betrayed by your mum leaving, but you should probably be the better person here and find out what's going on. So then she hears Roy lecturing Carla, saying, oh, no matter what his sins were, Johnny was still your father. And Kathy goes, what's that remind me of? Maybe the same thing's true for your mum. So he calls his aunt, finds out his mum's had a fall and broken both of her wrists.
Doing some line dancing.
And Auntie Jean has got to go to Australia, so Roy decides to go down to Hastings to sort it out.
He's still like talking like, I'll go down, he said, I'm gonna go make provisions for her care. So I don't think at the moment he's got any intentions of staying down there in Hastings.
No.
He'll probably get involved in some kind of battle reenactment society.
Yeah,
he won't be able to drag
that,
himself away.
So he eventually leaves on Friday to go see her.
Mm. And that leaves Kathy in charge of the bistro with Anna and Alex now, I suppose. So we got the workers in charge of the cafe, we've got workers in charge of streetcars. It's like all the bosses can just disappear off and everything's fine.
To go by my bosses, it actually improves when they disappear.
Kathy's going to revolutionise it. I kind of wasn't it a time when Roy went off before and then when he came back and like Becky turned it into something else, or I can't remember, and he came back and he's like, what is going on in here? Do you remember that?
No, I do not remember.
I can't remember what it was. But I can almost imagine that when Roy comes back, there will be something going on in the cafe that he's not going to like, and he's gonna go off on one. We'll find out in a few months, so he can have a nice bit of acting going on anyway.
So, Mary, kindred spirits.
Oh,
as we know, Mary got lucky at the weekend, or whenever it was, and on Monday she is still happy as Larry. And Dev is very confused and calls her Mary Poppins, and she makes this kind of cryptic statement about seeing life anew or whatever. And then Asha finds a man's sock upstairs, and Dev starts to put pieces together and sends the kids upstairs. And Mary's desperately trying to explain where this sock came from. And it's a sock of... It's got...
David Duchovny on, isn't it?
Yeah, Mulder from The X-Files. Yeah. And he's like... Where do you get this from then? And she's like, oh, it's in a pack of four.
She comes up with an elaborate story. Why couldn't it just be her sock?
If anyone on the street were to have a man's sock with moulder on it, it would be Mary.
Yeah.
What is so strange about it? And also, how is it so obviously a man's sock? Because we can't tell the difference between my socks and your socks, can we?
No. But anyway, Dev ends up just saying, like, you can bring him back if you want to. And
well, he says to her, look, it's your home as well. And she gets all embarrassed and rushes off, doesn't she?
Yeah, she's like, oh, don't worry, it's not going to happen again.
And then in the Rovers, I think, or whatever, well, I can't remember where they were, but it's in the corner shop. Erica and Dev are talking and he's sort of saying about it. And she walks in halfway through and assumes that he's complaining.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And says, oh, there will be no more socks appearing on the landing, and I'm sorry if I've betrayed your confidence, it's unforgivable. And sort of scurries away, and that was it, really.
We didn't have any more for the rest of the week. It seemed a bit pointless having it there, really. That could have been in...
That could have saved us a storyline.
Could have been in last week. So she's definitely deciding to stick with Brendan, isn't she?
Wow.
It's going to come back and bite her on the bum.
Wow.
You mark my words. She's heading for a fall, that Mary.
She is. Pride, you know what they say.
So there we go. That was this week's in Coronation Street. I'm feeling a bit blah about it this week. It didn't have that much to grab me. I enjoyed seeing the new flower shop because we were looking forward to seeing what that was going to look like. But there was too much Robert bum licking this week, wasn't it?
Do you have a character of the week?
Wow, I don't know.
I'm going to say Anna's mine because
I was thinking Anna.
I like
the surprise.
The new direction they're taking her in of making her a bit more free and easy and cheerful and funny. Because I think the actress has been underused in the role of Anna because Anna's always been a boring, miserable fishwife.
Yeah, exactly. And she's been a lot funnier this week. And
yeah.
Hopefully it's not just the new relationship and she's all feeling kind of on
but
top of the world.
But let's not forget, let's give it to her this week because next week I have a feeling she might be, sliding backwards.
I also have a feeling that something bad could happen with Anna last week.
Yeah, I wonder what it could be.
I don't know. Well, let's pat all our theories behind us now and we'll see what happens next week with that. Should be good. Right, on to our next segment.
Our next section is our special middle section that could be about anything. But this week it's a listener question.
This could be about anything, couldn't it? Because our listeners can ask us literally anything and we might answer it.
And the answer is Halloween themed.
We haven't done... What?
What colour are your pants?
Oh, I don't even know. Why not today? Nobody wants to know that. I'm doing the colour of my pants today.
Blue, light blue.
Blue, there we go. There's a little picture there for the... He says that podcasts can't stimulate
can't paint
visual
a picture
images. Yeah.
In your mind.
Anyway, we put out a request last week for a list of questions and we got a few on Facebook, so we'll answer some of them today. And
bit rude if we asked them and didn't answer them, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, incredibly rude. Yeah, we haven't done list of questions for ages, so we've got a bit of a backlog for a little bit now, which is nice. Now, I really love this first question that we're going to talk about this week. This is from Tibor. And that's all this question is like, yes. That's really a nice idea. And she says, if you could go back to the beginning of Coronation Street, what advice would you give Ken Barlow?
Run away. Run as fast as you can go.
But would you? I really like that idea because it's like looking back on Ken Barlow's life.
Well,
is there anything that you'd tell him to do differently or would you like do everything differently? Because
there are lots of different ways you can answer this question because... Personally, I think if Ken himself could do anything differently, the only thing he would probably change is not letting Deirdre leave.
What with when are you talking about?
Recently, I think if you're recently bereaved, your only regret is going to be not spending more time with the person that you love. So he would probably say, "Oh, I wish I'd spent more time with Deirdre."
Or
I wish
could
I
he hadn't... have gone with her to Bev's?
Maybe she should have come with me to Canada.
Well,
when I was on trial.
Yeah, or maybe our advice to him would be, in the future, 50 years' time, don't go to Canada. Adam will be fine.
Adam's fine. Or he might die. It doesn't matter either way.
I think those two bits of advice were a bit like far, far in the future. I just wonder whether there's any kind of main life advice we would give Ken back when he was a student with aspirations to take over the world and get out of Weatherfield and show his dad that he's not going to be confined to the same street for the rest
but
of his
do you
life.
Not, do you not think that, like, now he would look at his life and say, yeah, that some things were crap and it didn't turn out how I wanted, but I spent, you know, and maybe I made mistakes with the kids.
Real howlers.
Yeah. Maybe that would be his only regrets. Like,
I reckon that would probably be his biggest regret, not raising Peter and Susan, because he's been estranged from his children for so long, and he never built up that relationship. And
really, all the stuff that's happened with Peter and him being an alcoholic and everything,
yeah.
Is it because of Ken?
Not having a father figure, maybe.
Could Ken have like been a more positive influence and? Would we say to him, like, just look after your family? But would he have listened?
Well, I don't think he would listen
because he is a very headstrong guy and he obviously rates himself quite highly as his intelligence.
The Ken Barlow of 1960 wasn't going to listen to anyone's advice. He had his heart set on what he wanted to do.
But
you're right, I think reflecting on his life, he had that book that he wrote, didn't he, about living on the same street and wanting to get out, but then he kind of realised, actually, I've had not a bad life, and then he ended up burning the book or whatever, and I think we...
And is all the advice that we could give him be stuff that he would know anyway? Because all the mistakes he's made have been, like, emotional ones, where he's cheated on people or...
Mm.
Or not been a good dad or something, and everybody know, like, it's, you don't need to tell anyone you shouldn't cheat on people, you shouldn't run around behind your wife's back, you should look after your family properly.
Mm.
Everyone knows that, and I don't think that's a mistake you could have avoided.
But you know, back then, the 60s and the 70s were coming up, and all this free love, whatever. You said this thing's gonna.
Are you calling Ken Barlow a hippie?
Oh yeah, totally hippie. This thing's gonna come around where people are just gonna be sleeping out with anyone. Don't do it, Ken. Not right.
Would we have told him, don't worry about, what's his name? His rival.
Mike Baldwin.
Don't worry about Mike. He will die in your arms.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't need to fight him. You'll win in the end.
I think some kind of advice, like, look after your family.
Keep it in your pants.
Keep it in your pants, exactly. And it's that kind of advice of, You may have it's a bit sad, but it's like you may have these big dreams, but actually a perfect life could be just on your doorstep and you don't even realise, kind of thing. Because he has made such a difference to Weatherfield and the community, and he's been such a, you know...
He has had his chance to become an influence in people's lives, and I don't think he's done a good job of it. He was a teacher and he got kicked out for beating up a kid.
Don't punch children, Ken.
He was in a newspaper, but he's not remembered for that. He didn't do anything earth-shattering or for the ages working in the paper.
Yeah.
Are all his dreams pipe dreams? Because it's not like he's not had the chance.
Mm.
If he had left and gone somewhere else, I don't think it would have made any difference. I think Ken, sad to say, is a kind of a mediocre man. With big dreams.
So our advice to him would just be, don't have any dreams.
Don't have dreams. You are...
Just get stuck in the day-to-day life. Look after your family. Maybe
what makes you so special?
Watch out for that hairdryer.
Yeah, don't...
That killed off Valerie.
Don't put a socket in the bathroom.
See, the thing is, I mean, we think of Deirdre as being Ken's kind of main love and everything, but she was like his third wife. And if we were to give him advice like, you replace your own hairdryer, he could have stayed with Valerie forever. They would have gone off to Jamaica, and that would have been a...
Would he have been better off in Jamaica? Him. Should we have gone, if you get a chance to change your life forever, take it?
Mm. Oh, I don't know whether he would have been better off. I mean, but really? I think looking back, he'd have said he's had a good life.
But what has he got? He lives in a house
with his terrace next to a
evil
pub.
Stepdaughter or whatever, and her budding evil daughter.
He's had the love of a good woman. He's got the respect of the community, kind of.
He's alone.
He hasn't even got a kimono anymore.
He's alone, and he had a psycho girlfriend, a psycho daughter, a psycho son. Should we say to him, just ditch everything and go to Jamaica?
Maybe. Oh, I'd love to. I want to see like a spin-off. I want to see like Parallel Universe.
That's my advice to Corrie Special. Ken. Get the hell out. Get the hell out of Coronation Street. I've changed my mind.
Would you?
Yeah, because maybe if Deirdre had not had Ken around, she wouldn't have gone off and died in a garden.
Why? Where'd you get that from?
Because if she'd had a different bloke to support her, she wouldn't have had to run away because Tracy's a nightmare. Maybe Tracy would have been put in her place.
Maybe. It's a bit difficult, kind of what-ifs in that situation, isn't it?
Well, the whole thing is what advice would you give?
Tell Ken to get off to Jamaica when he has the chance.
Well,
Valerie or
what
not.
What could really go wrong in Jamaica that hasn't gone wrong in Weatherfield? It'd be the same. It'd just be nicer weather, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And maybe better food.
You might get skin cancer or something. You might burn.
Well, just all right then.
People didn't wear suntan lotion back then,
did they? Take you back to 50 and go to Jamaica.
I would say, stick with the street. You'll have people that love and respect you. Look after your kids is my advice to him. So we disagree on that
one. We disagree completely.
Okay, thank you for that awesome question, Tivor. And Gemma,
if anyone has any answers.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to hear other people's ideas of what they'd say to Ken.
Ken Barlow.
Ken of the 60s, 1960 Ken. Kenneth, sorry, as he was called back then.
How about spread your seed far and wide to get more crazy psycho characters in the street?
Yeah.
Right, Christina's question. She asked us, what is your opinion on Erica? Do you think she fits into the street? I personally don't think she does, and I still think of her as Kim from Emmerdale, even though I never watched it.
Well, we have also not watched Emmerdale, and I don't think of her as Kim from Emmerdale.
I really don't.
I don't know who Kim from Emmerdale is. Was she a big character in it? I don't know.
I
don't even think of her as.
See,
well, I sometimes do think of her as Claire King.
As an actress, but I don't know that she was on Emmerdale. I don't know where I know her from.
No, she's one of these kind of faces, isn't she? A bit like Melanie Hill, a little bit.
To me, Erica feels like Coronation Street, guest starring Erica.
Yeah, it is.
Liz's friend.
It is. She totally feels like a guest star at the moment, but a guest star, because she is, this actress. We have Claire King. We don't know what we're going to do with her yet, but one day we'll think of something, and it's going to be a damn good storyline.
I don't think badly of her, and I don't know what's wrong with her character particularly, because...
She's a good actress.
She's really good with Liz, and I totally believe that she and Liz have been friends for, like, donkey's years.
Yeah, I do as well. And Coronation Street does have these kind of side characters and people who don't do very much and they appear every now and again, but you would have just thought of somebody with that kind of... She has a presence, doesn't she?
She certainly does.
She's got the potential.
She's got charisma.
To have a good storyline. I mean, she could be the next Carla Connor kind of thing, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's that kind of person, or Liz in the next battle.
Yeah, a weighty presence. So let's remind ourselves of what she's done on the street so far.
Yeah, well, she's hooked up with Nick. I mean, this was a problem, wasn't she? Because the very first thing that she did when she came in and had that fling with Nick and then got pregnant, I didn't like that.
Like, to be fair, I absolutely do not care about age differences and relationships and stuff. Whatever. If you can get somebody younger than you, fine. I don't care. But I just didn't believe it.
No, I didn't.
Because...
I didn't think Nick would.
She's too good for Nick anyway. I think Nick's quite shallow to start with. I think he probably is quite mature and boring in a way, so he would be suitable for an older woman who probably doesn't want a flighty younger guy running around like a lad. But I think that Erica's far more interesting and exciting and sparky than Nick, and that's why it also doesn't make sense that he's going out with Carla.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, really, if you think about it, Erica is just Carla, 20 years older, or however much, I don't know, 10 years, I don't know. But... who hasn't had any success in her professional life, because she was bemoaning the fact that she is however old she is and she works in a shop.
Yeah. Well, she got pregnant, didn't she? I had a miscarriage. And that miscarriage scene and everything around there did show that she has got something, because I felt so bad. I felt sorry for her. Claire King acted her socks off in that little scene there. And that's the only time I've really cared about Erica, and it was over and done with.
I think they shouldn't have been scared to go down the storyline of having her have a kid. And I think Erica would have been a much more interesting character if she had a kid.
Mm. That was like, oh, right, Erica's been in it a few months. Looks like she's having a storyline. Oh, no.
No.
Miscarriage. And all she's done then is basically propped up the bar at the Rovers, been friends with Dev for a bit. Now she's working in the shop, not that we ever see that. And now she's going off to singles night with Anna. But that's still, she's accompanying Anna. It's Anna's story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anna, she's just like holding Anna's hand. And now she's met up with Kevin. She's not needed anymore. So I want to give her a chance. But it's like Stuart Blackburn hired her. And I don't know, was she on Emmerdale at the same time as him, and like they were bezzy mates from then or something? I don't know.
I don't know, but she was a big deal in Emmerdale. She was in it from 1989 to 1999.
Oh, really? 10 years.
And they did a... Channel 4 in 2001 did 100 Greatest TV Characters, and Kim Tate was the only one. Her character she plays was the only one from Emmerdale to appear in the top 100 at number 81. Mm.
Gemma has just got Wikipedia open at
the moment,
if you were wondering about her encyclopedic knowledge of
Oh, that's right. Show me up.
So she is a big deal. I think that must be it. They got her because she's a big deal. Well, Blimmin, do something with her. I don't know what they can do, but she's such a blank slate. It could kind of be anything, couldn't it?
Well, she keeps ominously muttering about her mother all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got to go and look after my mum.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I don't care about that. She...
It's like all the young characters are like, oh, I've got to get someone to look after my kid. And all the old characters are like, oh, my mum's hurt herself.
Mm.
Isn't it?
Yeah. She needs to find a boyfriend, because just to get that out the way, because that's what happens in soaps. And then just literally anything. Give her anything to do.
Because is she going to end up with Dev?
I don't know whether they're well suited, but I don't really care, because I would have said the same about Anna and Kevin. They weren't suited, but actually it's not turned out so bad. Put her together with Dev, just give them a storyline, because she is suited. I think she's strong, feisty, she could be a bit of a battle axe. Now do something.
I think she should sort of start a business, because she was saying, like, her... She hasn't got kids, she hasn't got a career, and I think if I was her age, she's in her 50s, isn't she?
Mm.
If I was her age and I didn't have either of those things under my belt, I would feel like a massive failure.
Yeah.
Because we don't know anything about whether she's had a long-term relationship at all.
I don't know.
It's one thing if you were married and then, you know, your husband died or something. But to be single in your 50s, working in a shop...
Because
she's quite intelligent.
Yeah, yeah. I could see it as, like, being a new Rover's landlady or something at some point in the future. But I don't want to get rid of Liz. I can just see her, like... as the head of some kind of... Like, she'd be better fronting the bistro than Nick is,
and Leanne. Yeah, get rid of Leanne and make... I would actually like that, actually. Erica as the...
the madame. The
hostess of... Yeah. Madame?
That's not the right one.
No, that's what you have in a brothel.
Oh, well, you know... There we go.
Why not? Legalised prostitution in Weatherfield.
Leanne can be able to work for her, man.
Leanne would be able to give us some advice, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's not out of the realms of possibility that Nick and Erica will end up together, because she's just going to get on that merry-go-round. She'll be going out with Nick. She'll go out with Robert, you know. Maybe that's what's going to happen. But, yeah, so to answer your question, Christina, we do think that she fits into the street, but they've got to give her something to do quickly. Otherwise, I can't see her sticking around for another year or so.
Yeah.
Agree? Yeah. Okay, and our last question this week, it's another Rovers related question. This is from Bronte, who says, if we were landlord and landlady of the Rovers, which characters currently on staff would you keep and which ones would you sack?
Can I just say that Michael doesn't drink alcohol? So if we were in charge of a pub...
I'd be in charge of the J2Os and the lemonade, I'd be all right.
It would be quite interesting.
I think it would be very funny. And also, you know, I don't like talking to people, and I think you kind of have to be landlord. But let's forget about all that.
I think before you worried about your staff, you would be like, right, we're going to get some arcade machines in here.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to... Jukebox is going to be full of Spice Girls. Beautiful South.
Yeah.
And
a little bit of Queen, maybe.
A little bit of Queen.
Change
the decoration.
Yeah, exactly. And no booze.
I know. I would make it into like a gastro pub.
Yeah, you would actually. That would be Gemma's stamp on it.
I would get Omar to help me to pick some micro breweries.
Mm.
We'd maybe start to brew our own beer. Some small batch artisanal ales on offer. We'd have locally produced pork scratchings and a limited bar menu, which included hot pot, but smaller portions for higher prices.
You thought about this, haven't you?
I haven't. That's just what I would do. But let's talk about...
They haven't had anyone in charge of the catering properly since Mandy left, have they? Because Betty was obviously the cook for all these times. Then we had Mandy for a bit, and now I don't know what it is. Sean's
I don't understand how they possibly can serve food there.
We never see anybody cooking it, really.
No one cooks it, but they've always got it there. They've always got hot pots there. And you think, who's making this? And why does anyone eat there when there's literally a cafe across the road and a restaurant that everybody goes to all the time?
Yeah, I mean, we don't see them talking about food in the Rovers that much anymore, do they? Because loads of pubs don't do food.
There's hardly any... Literally, I think, in this country, you either are, a, you know, like a crappy little Wetherspoons or whatever. So you have like industrial food that you just heat up.
Set menu kind of.
Or you don't have any food at all, or you're a proper, you know, like in the middle of the New Forest kind of.
I mean, this could be a possible storyline, couldn't it? Like with the bistro and the cafe, people not eating at the Rovers anymore. But anyway, we digress. So who would we keep on the sack on the current staff?
Well,
so
we are
the top of the top. So we've got Liz, Steve, Michelle, Sarah Lou, Sean and Anna as the cleaner
now,
under us.
I think it's fair to say that if we were to become in charge of the Rovers, Liz, Steve and Michelle would very quickly not be there anymore.
Well, maybe.
Because they are in charge of the pub, so.
Well, can we just say that it's for somehow we've got it and they've sold up to us because they need the money for whatever?
Well, they would move out then. So I would.
I would want to keep Liz the most out of them.
I would. No, but you're thinking of it as somebody watching the show.
I know.
You're now in charge of the pub.
Okay.
But if I'm in charge of the pub, I'm getting rid of Liz, Steve, and Michelle. I have no compunctions getting rid of Michelle at all.
Why? She's all right now. She's quite. She's probably draws the.
I don't
the
want her in it. I don't want her in it.
Just because she don't like her.
I don't need her there.
She does a good job. She knows how to. She knows her way around.
I don't care.
More than Sarah Lou does.
I'm keeping Sean.
Oh yeah, definitely keep Sean.
Sean is now head barmaid. And I'm getting Erica in, as we've just said. She needs something to do.
Yeah.
And I am gonna give Sarah Louise a trial period.
She's odd. She's had a trial period. She
doesn't care. She doesn't
want to
work there, does she?
She's kind of there because we've got to give her a job on the street, but she doesn't seem like she's. It's because she still looks like she's 13, and like you see her serving pints there, and your first thing you think is, should she be behind the bar? That, oh yeah, she is actually 30 now, or whatever.
Anna, I keep because I've never had any complaints about the cleanliness of the bar.
Oh yeah, that's true.
I might. Who would I hire instead, though?
I don't know who else is her.
Because I've got to replace some people now. I've sacked everybody.
Who else is left on the street? I'd get Eva back in, maybe.
Oh, I'd hire Eva again, for sure.
Like a shot.
Get rid of Sarah and hire Eva back. Eva, Erica,
and
Sean.
Tell you what I'd do. I'd get Robert to do the cooking, because he's the best chef
in
the world.
I'd poach him.
Yeah. Because this is like fancy now, isn't it?
No, I'd befriend Robert. And say, oh, I've never been able to make a good hot pot. And then he'd be like, oh, I know how to make hot pot. It's easy. Then he'd make me one. And I'd say, Robert, this is amazing. What? How did you make it? And he'd tell me. And then I'd be like, ha, 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 ha.
And copy him.
And steal it.
Ah, good idea. So who's on our dream staff now then? Sarah Lou still?
No, I said Eva,
oh, yeah.
Erica.
Sean. Sean's just good for the. He does a good enough job, doesn't he?
Yeah. I don't have any complaints.
And Anna and Robert. And I'd like get a blast from the past and try and get Raquel back in as well.
But I think Liz, Steve, and Michelle would go off to the flying horse.
Yeah, I think Steve. He is kind of there as a figurehead, isn't he? He doesn't seem to do.
Steve doesn't
a whole
do
lot
anything.
Of job
he
work.
Just licks Cookie's nose. I mean, Rover's nose, and
yeah, we can do without him. But I'd like to keep Liz, but like you said, I don't think she would. She'd want to stay.
Her nose would be
for
put
us.
Out of joint. She'd leave.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. What's the word? Patronise her.
What about Steph? Could we poach her?
Oh, I'd have Steph. Yeah.
Yeah, get her out of the bistro.
I'd hire her on more on
swap
higher
her with,
wages.
Swap with Michelle. Michelle can go and work at the bistro, and then we'll have Steph.
Yeah.
Right. That is our list of questions. If any listeners have got any responses to those that they'd like to share, do let us know.
Mm.
But for now, let's go on and do a little bit of news. Okay, just very, very short news. It's still incredibly slow news month this month. Something needs to happen. We need some kind of scandal that is not going yet.
Don't like scandals.
I just want something to talk about. I mean, first thing is Simon Gregson has been in, was it OK or Hello Magazine? I can't remember this week. And he's basically said that he's going to be back filming again soon. He's
Huzzah.
Feeling better. I don't think it's ever been said what it was that was wrong with him. So it's one of these... private matters.
Mind your own damn business.
Yeah, he's okay now, so that's good. I'm really. There was like a moment last year.
We've been bitten by this before, haven't we?
Yeah. Congratulations on your getting better, Simon.
Cautiously optimistic.
Very much looking forward to seeing you back in the Rovers. When's that going to be? Like Easter time or so?
Oh, that'll be something to look forward to for Easter.
Nice Steve storyline, and I'm sure lots of other viewers will be pleased to see him too because he's a popular character. We're not going to be seeing much of Kylie though later on in the year because Paul Elaine's pregnant again, which is hot off the press news. We just discovered before we started recording the podcast. She put a little tweet out saying that there's going to be a baby number two out. So congratulations.
Should be more efficient and have twins next time, Paula.
Oh yeah, just going to be that little gap in them that could have been, you know, avoided.
How big is the gap?
Well, when did she have she had her last baby, it was about a year ago, wasn't it? Because Kylie went off at Christmas.
That's about right, isn't it? It'll be a couple of years between each child.
Yeah.
Which I think is a nice gap.
Says
the only child.
So the baby's going to be due in the summer, which means that Kylie's going to be bowing out, I would guess, around about late May. Britain's Got Talent Week.
Just get her out to go to see Becky or something. Please, God, no more Platt.
I know.
Disharmony and nonsense.
But you know that it's going to, don't you?
No, because they just got rid of Fizz. Like, oh, I'm going off. I'll be back. I'll come back. You stole my TV. And that was it. You don't need to have a huge... Not every actress who goes away on maternity needs to have a massive storyline to go with it.
To be fair, they don't usually. You're
making out like they're going to have another huge drama. I think they will because it's Platts. Yeah, but I'm saying please don't, because the only drama they know what to do with when it comes to Platts is let's have David and Kylie break up. If they're going to do something to do with Callum, great. Maybe she will be found out that she murdered Callum and she'll go to prison.
Yeah, but the problem is, it's like, can I come back in 6 months?
Yeah,
please?
Well, why not? The British justice system.
It worked for Tracy, didn't it?
Back off for good behaviour.
I wonder whether, like, around the time of this Carla wedding, Britain's Got Talent Week, that might be when Paula Lane goes off, possibly.
Well, if they get found out that they murdered Callum, I mean, is there, like, a minimum that you have to give people?
I don't know.
Like, I'm sure that there's no minimum sentence that you have to give people for stuff. I don't know, but it's a fictional world they live in. Let's remember that. Why can't they just have her go in to prison for a token amount of time? Because it turns out Callum was a massive drug dealer and she actually did everybody a favour and it was only self-defence anyway.
There's going to be a Billy on the jury for that one then, is it? I just wonder whether she's going to worry that she's going to get found out and she'll go on the run for fear of being caught. Possibly.
I don't know.
Anyway, congratulations on the baby news. And other kind of interesting news at this week, Eve Gordon, who plays Caitlin, revealed on Twitter this week that she almost got the part of being Maddie. Well, I don't know how close it was, but apparently her agent was trying to get her the part of Maddie a couple of years ago. So we could have seen more of Eve's face earlier on.
She's too young, I think, can you imagine her and Sophie canoodling? No, it's a bit sickening, isn't it?
I don't know. So Sophie's fairly young looking. I mean, the thing is, Craig is, 15, 16? So I assume Caitlin is around the same. And Maddie would have been 19, 20
around
this point.
That is a big age for that. Those years are a big difference.
Yeah, and you can understand that sometimes they get older actresses to play younger characters, like Bethany, for example. But does it ever work the other way around? It just seems a bit odd. Or maybe they had a different idea for how old they wanted... No, they couldn't have had a different idea for how old they wanted Maddie to be. Because she was always going to end up with Sophie, wasn't she? I don't know. But anyway, that was kind of interesting kind of bit of behind-the-scenes news that we didn't know about. And the reason she put it up on Twitter was like saying, well, now I'm painting a memorial to the character that I could have been. So will she outlast her now?
How life is weird.
We need to get Caitlin in a proper storyline as well. She's just like popping up every now and again, isn't she?
Mm.
She's got potential. Anyway, that is it for the cabin this week. Not very much. fingers crossed for next week. Let's go and do some feedback before we finish.
Welcome to the feedback section, where people write in.
Oh, you're not welcoming me. Stuff. Tell us or ask.
Gail has written in and said, "Hi Merkel and Gemma.
Hi.
As always, I'm looking forward to listening to your next podcast. I hope you enjoy it so far, Gail. It's been fantastic so far."
I think we've hit the peak.
She said, "I was just wondering, do folks in the UK normally dress in outrageous sweaters, costumes and wear funny hats at Christmas time? Or was it just on Coronation Street? Take care and Happy New Year to both of you."
Oh, the cultural divide.
Where does Gail come from?
Canada.
Do you have crackers in your country, Gail?
I think we're the only people that have crackers.
Right, so funny hat thing. To explain where this comes from, at Christmas in the UK, we have Christmas crackers, which are cardboard
tubes
which you break open, and they make a snapping noise, and inside is always a toy, a joke, and a hat made of paper, and which looks like a crown. And at Christmas dinner, we always open our crackers and wear funny hats. And that is what happens.
I would expect that lots of listeners and viewers of Coronation Street will know you that, must having have seen that over the year. Yeah. But what about this Christmas jumper phase?
No, but it is a very normal thing. The Christmas jumper thing, this has been around for, I would say, the last five years or so.
Oh, I'd say two or three, but maybe five, yeah.
So
jumpers
only very recently have we started to wear novelty Christmas jumpers.
I am not in this phase yet, by the way.
Michael is boring and he won't join in, but I have Christmas jumpers, which I wear from November until
a lot of them are like
beginning of January.
Dogs with Christmas noses on, like Rudolph.
I've got a pug wearing a Christmas hat. I've got a golden stag. I've got a load of reindeers. I've got loads of feral kind of knit things.
Oh, and you've got that Home Alone one that says, "Merry Christmas, you filthy animal."
Yeah, I've got two of those. I've got one that's a t-shirt, one that's a jumper. What else have I got? I've got a cat wearing a Christmas hat.
So, yes, lots of people do wear those. But the thing that David was wearing over Christmas, he had like an elf top, didn't he? With a little, Kermit the Frog jester.
I would say it's more of a costume.
But people don't wear costumes.
That is a bit of a weird one.
Yeah. I wouldn't say people tend to wear costumes, but Christmassy outfits a lot more. I think
people who do that are taking the mick of Christmas.
Yeah.
In a kind of jokey, ha-ha, you bunch of losers kind of a way. And that's exactly the kind of thing I would expect David to wear, to be honest.
I think he looked a bit weird, and I don't know why he wore
it. I don't know how common it is. I would say it's not a weird thing to do. I'm not saying everybody does it, but I wear Christmas jumpers a lot of the time, and nobody will say anything other than that's
like you
nice.
Say, more and more common it's getting.
Yes.
Right, I'll do the next email.
And pretty much every shop now does a Christmas jumper.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. T-Ball says, "Hi and welcome back. I think the pub that Brendan took Mary to was a bit run down and filled with loud people and raucous children and not a nice, quiet, intimate place at all. Not really where you go for a romantic date in spite of what you tell your girlfriend. He's probably picked a place where he knows he won't run into anyone he knows, too. They've made Brendan into a typical stereotype cheating husband with all the standard smooth and odious lines to work on the emotional need Mary has to be loved. On the emotional need Mary has to be loved. It won't end well." It is weird that it's like, he's still kind of a nice character, isn't he, through all of it? And it's so sad because he seems like he's the perfect guy for Mary, apart from...
If only he... I think...
But he is weak, isn't he? And he's... And obviously scurrying off to his...
The thing that's going to put a nail in the coffin is when we meet Brendan's wife and she turns out to be a lovely person and probably even an almost copycat of Mary.
Mm.
Apart from not into, and wouldn't it be interesting if she was into the supernatural stuff as well? Because I mean, the fact that she didn't go to the event and Brendan was like, "Oh, she doesn't like this kind of thing," could just be another lie.
I don't think he's lying about it particularly. I think it really is one of these relationships that's reached the end of the line, but he's just not got the strength, the guts to actually do something about it. And I don't think he ever was. I can almost imagine that he's going to tell Mary, "Well, I've finished with her now," but actually he hasn't, and then someone's going to notice that they're together or something still. But if not, and I wouldn't be sad if he stayed with Mary, he just needs to get rid of the wife and divorce, because I like a bit of happiness for Mary. for the first time ever.
At the expense of Brendan's poor wife, who hasn't done anything wrong.
I know, I feel a bit bad for her, but Brendan's nice. But not. Tibor continues, I kind of like that Kate seemed to want to make a new family of the three siblings that Aidan didn't want to know, and Carla just felt a bit awkward. Kate's the youngest of the three, and while she misses her mother, she didn't know her as much at all, so it's probably the least impact on her. I think Kate said that in the episode since this, you sent this email, actually. It's kind of sweet when Carla has been like calling her sister and everything. Isn't it? They're kind of united in hating
Johnny.
Well,
and also, Aidan is a very masculine person, so she's never had a sort of loving sibling who she could share things with, probably. I can imagine Aidan never being around and, like, not wanting to play with her, and he'd probably be out with his mates and rough and tumble.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And now she's got her sister and like, oh, I can tell you all my secrets.
Oh, let's play My Little Pony.
Yeah. Right, thank you for your email, Tibor. And Gemma is going to read our final one of the week.
Rebecca says, enjoyed this week's episodes of Corrie. I agree, Melanie Hill did a fab job this week. Some good acting from both her and David Nielsen. I'm glad Ken dumped Nessa, although I hope she does stick around from time to time, as I enjoy the character, and there should be more older characters on the street. Also, enjoying Kevin and Anna's romance, as I think they're well-suited to one another, but when Anna said she was pregnant, it made me laugh so much. Although, I can't wait for Sally to find out about the relationship. What, Mia, that's going to be funny.
That thing, yeah, well, you were saying, we didn't even mention that earlier when you were talking about Anna being more of a comedy character now, and like last week's, you know, that scene with her pretending she was pregnant was kind of the start of it, wasn't it? And she did do a really good job.
She did.
Debbie Rush is a good performer, and she like and a comedy performer as well. She just doesn't get enough chance to.
Yeah, it's to do always it, does she? Tough.
Like, oh, Gary's this, and oh, Owen, don't leave me, and oh, that you pick on Roy, and I'm going to stand up.
There's very few times where I would blame the actor or actress for a character.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And it's a lot of the time when we're complaining about somebody, it's usually the way it's been written. And the prime example of that is Leanne.
Yeah, Jane Danson. Jane Danson
is a lovely person from what I've seen of her talking about behind the scenes stuff. And I feel really badly for her about what they've done to Leanne.
Yeah.
But there you go.
It is Leanne we have the problem with, not Jane.
Yeah. And Rebecca adds, also looking forward to Tracy's Flower Shop opening whenever that might be.
Well, that's already happened. Hope it lived up to your expectations. Right, and that is it for another episode of Conversation Street. So you may wish to email this, and if you do, conversationstreet@gmail.com is where you can send us a message to, or you can leave a message on our blog, conversationstreet.podbean.com. There's something going wrong with our blog at the moment. I've accidentally deleted the links bar down the side.
There's nothing going wrong with it. It's always
perfect. We had a load of links to other people's sites and special episodes of the podcast, and I think I accidentally deleted it last week and I haven't got around to putting it back.
So something went wrong with it and it was you.
So if we had you on the list, we're not like snubbing you or anything. It just, there's something going on. Please leave us a review on iTunes. Please Skype us. Go on, you know you want to. We're at Conversation Street on Skype. We're on Twitter, very, very close to 800 followers now. So if you're listening and you haven't followed us, we're at Conversation Street. And Facebook is where you can find other Conversation Street kind of chats there for us. And that is it.
That's it for another week. Sorry, it wasn't a very long episode this week, but
we didn't have much to say about this week's episode. Not much to say
about the storylines.
Hopefully next week will be better.
They were all right, but there's nothing to say.
I think there's going to be a few more things in the next.
There's
going to
be some explosive things happening soon.
We hope so. Now, anyway, we've got to go because we've got such an exciting weekend coming up.
What are we
going to
do?
We go to a first birthday party of one of our friends
and a gig.
I've never been to a child's birthday party before as like an adult, so I can't say I'm over the moon about it. But as long as there's cake and I can sit in the corner eating it, I'll be
frosting,
happy.
I know that for sure, because she was writing about it on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, I'd probably be all right if it wasn't for the little one-year-olds going around, but, you know.
Oh, just be quiet, you miserable sod. She didn't have to invite you.
I know, I'm very...
She probably only invited you because I'm going and you have to come wherever I go because I'm married, but guess what? I didn't invite you along with me. You can drive yourself.
Yeah.
There you go, see? Now you're sad.
Anyway, see you next week, everybody. Have a good week. Enjoy Corrie.
If you can.
I hope you can.
I'm sure you will.
Bye.
Bye.
Music for this episode came from podcastthemes.com.